If all goes as planned, that's going to be one big airline.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Shareholders at Continental Airlines in Houston have voted to unite with Chicago-based United. As long as United shareholders agree, which they're expected to do, the merger would create the world's biggest airline. So what does it mean for the airline industry and, most importantly, for passengers? Chicago Public Radio's Tony Arnold reports.
Mergers have become the name of the game in the wild blue yonder. First, there was U.S. Airways America West, then Delta Northwest. Now, the mother of all mergers, United and Continental. Joe Schwederman is an aviation expert at DePaul University. He says all the consolidation is a sign. There isn't much natural growth left in the airline industry.
We're in kind of a new era now where the growth is not being driven by announcements and new services. It's by combining.
But Schwederman says all that combining means fewer players and less competition, and passengers should expect to be digging deeper into their pockets.
No question there's going to be some upward price pressure, especially for business travelers.
There will still be some odds and ends to work out with the FAA and the Department of Transportation. Schwederman says that could take up to a year. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold for Marketplace.
In a couple of hours, President Obama will make it official. Elizabeth Warren, the Harvard Law professor, will oversee the creation of the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection, granted in the financial reform law. Now, there are still questions about how much power Warren will have. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with us live from our Washington studio. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Why the confusion over how much power she'll have?
Well, the confusion is caused because President Obama is not going to formally appoint Warren as director of the new bureau. That would require approval from the Senate. And at this point, there just aren't enough votes in the Senate to confirm her. Now, a lot of Republicans are leery of Warren because she's a very outspoken critic of Wall Street. So the president is expected to make Warren an assistant to him and to Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner.
So how much power, then, Nancy, will Warren actually have? What will she be able to do?
Well, lawyers here in Washington, and there are plenty of them, are busy trying to figure that out. And Warren, by the way, was a law professor at Harvard. All of the lawyers are poring over a section of the law that says the Treasury Department will run the bureau while the nomination of a director is pending. And it says, quote, the director may prescribe rules and issue orders and guidance. So it's not clear whether Warren will have the authority to write the rules needed to implement the new law. I talked about this with Ed Mirzwinski. He's a consumer advocate at the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. And he says all of the debate over Warren's powers is irrelevant because she's so close to the president.
She has the power of President Obama sitting right next to her. And that is power that we cannot measure. When Professor Warren wants something done, she'll ask the president. Very few people can go directly to the president.
Now, Steve, President Obama is expected to formally announce his appointment of Elizabeth Warren in about an hour and a half, not 2 hours, at 1:30 Eastern time today.
There you go. All right. And Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The S&P and NASDAQ up slightly, but the Dow is off now 4 points, 10,590. Major stocks in Asia and Europe were up today about 1% in most cases.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
These days, you can buy almost everything on the web, books, clothes, shoes. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports you can also buy art, like the really, really expensive stuff.
When it comes to art, Chip Tom is old-fashioned.
I like to see something. I want to see what the texture of the painting is, how the paint was actually applied.
But these days, he's feeling a little out of step. Tom is a partner and art curator at Heather James Fine Art. The gallery sells big names like Monet and Picasso.
Amazingly, we do between 30 and 40% of our business on the internet. We don't meet them. We don't even necessarily speak to them on the phone. It's all through emails.
People are spending upwards of tens of thousands of dollars on stuff that they've never actually seen or touched.
hundreds of thousands of dollars per piece on things they've never seen or touched.
Tom says that confidence is a product of the internet age. Several websites now allow consumers to research works of art, much like investors research stocks. Brian McConville is with ArtNet.
We have a database that allows collectors or dealers to go in and find auction records that are illustrated that once upon a time was just not available to collectors.
He says ArtNet's 4 million auction records allow access to information that hadn't been widely available.
Before this database, it was just dealer to dealer, and collectors were really, really in the dark.
As the art world grows more accessible online, it's attracting new collectors.
Open the art market to all users.
Josette May is with the website Art Price, based in France. She says when people are educated through sites like hers, it helps the whole industry.
It is profitable for the galleries and the art dealers as well, because it will increase confidence from the buyers and naturally increase the market volume.
ArtNet's services include an online auction platform, so collectors can bypass more expensive brick-and-mortar auction houses. That is, assuming they don't need to see and touch the painting before they buy. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, all the business news of the week in a Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
Airlines are merging. Helter Skelter. Northwest got bought out by Delta. America West and US Air and TWA is no longer there. And just today it gets decided Continental is flying United. Soon there'll be just one airline around, and they'll charge you a fee if you want to sit down. Extend the tax cuts? Yes, but which? Everybody? Just the rich? Tea partiers say cut them all, but they might cut the GOP this fall. Healthcare opponents are showing endurance. You can't make me buy insurance. And honk if you're into Basel III, and I'll see you at marketplace.org.
Marketplace is Bill Radke. Join us at our website. You can download the podcast there as well and share your thoughts with us, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.